God speaking into our hearts. Before we get into the word, I just want to tell you how excited I am at what God's doing with this church and with this PACE team that is coming. As you saw in the video, 4 to 5 young men and women, ages 19 to 25, that'll be here to help us move the mountains in this place in the name of Jesus and to break free. And that's coming in January. The other thing we're excited about and that we're working towards that's beginning the first Sunday in October is we'll be sharing about this every Sunday morning till then. But we are changing the format of the Sunday morning service. And the purpose, the why we're doing this, is we want the Holy Spirit to just have more freedom to flow. We want to just be open and let the Holy Spirit lead us. So, how the service order beginning October Sunday, first Sunday in October will be is we will come in, we will have an opening song, then we will have our announcements and greeting in the very beginning. And then after that, we're going to start worshiping through music and we're just going to flowing. What that means is we will no longer be taking a conventional offertory time. We will no longer have that. In the Old Testament, when people came into the house of worship, they came in bringing their offerings, their first fruits, their tithes, their gifts, and they placed them at the altar of the Lord. They gave them to the priests. And that's the format we're going to take. As people come in, it would be on you because we're not here to twist anyone's arm, but we're here to encourage you to be obedient to the Word of God. Because your Father does own a cattle on 1,000 hills. And the Bible says we are to give God what is His, that 10%, and our first fruits and our offerings. So, what we will have, and I brought this to show you, and we'll be showing you this. We will have two of these boxes. One will be up here for those who really want to come to the altar area and put their tithes and offerings in, whether it's when they first come in or during greeting time or even during worship time as part of your worship. This will be up here, and there will also be one in the back for those who just want to do it so they don't forget to do it. So we'll have two offertory boxes like this that'll be placed, one in the front, one in the back. And like I said, we just want to allow the Holy Spirit freedom in this place to move and just give glory to God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Would you raise your Bibles? Let's give God glory for His Word. Father, we thank You for Your Word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank You that all Scripture is God-breathed and inspired and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in Your righteousness. Amen. Amen. And with those same Bibles, if you would turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. We started a series last week, an amazing thing, on revival. The three elements of it, the fire, the fan, and the flame. And last week we started talking about the fire. Next time, we will talk about the fan. And then after that, the flame. But and you can listen on the church website to last week's message if you missed it, and I encourage you to do. Beginning verse 38 and 39 for now. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord is God. The Lord is God." And we talked about the fire. The fire comes from God. It's God who sends the fire. And we will talk about the flame. And that means we are, as priests, we are responsible to fan the flames of the fire that God sends. And then we'll talk about the flame itself, the result of that fire and the fire being flame. Quoted Bill Johnson said, where he says, "I did not realize then that it was God who lit the fire on the altar, but it was the priests who kept it burning." And we talked about two elements of revival: desperate times and desperate people. They're the ones that are hungry for God. And in those times and in those moments, "I want God. I want you, God. I want to go from the natural to the supernatural. Lord God, I want to go from what I can't do to what you want to do. I want to line myself up to your heart, God, and flow with you." Bill Johnson said, "Many people miss out on the move of God because they are not hungry enough." And last week, the Lord stirred a hunger in many, and it was beautiful to see Lord stirring that hunger. And God uses hunger to ignite the spiritual passion for the supernatural. Now, let's go to 1 Kings 18, but let's begin now, verse 30. I want to show you something very powerful here. This is the story of Elijah. Most of us know it. But I want you to see how God fully operates, how he stirs the hearts of the people still to the point where they said, the Lord is God. He is God. So Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." Background to this story, for those that might have forgotten or don't know, is this was a challenge. This was a smackdown. You got hundreds of prophets of Baal versus the prophet of God, Elijah. You got the whole city coming out to watch on Mount Carmel. And the challenge was this: whose God's going to send a fire and consume the bull that's on the altar? So these prophets of Baal, they started wailing, they started screaming, they started this, they started that. Nothing happened. They even began to cut themselves as a form of sacrificing themselves. That's demonic. Self-mutilation is demonic. They started doing all kinds of stuff and nothing happened. So now it was Elijah's turn. He tells them, "Back off." Then he says, "All the people, come near to me. Come close, guys. I want all of you to see what God's about to do." So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. It was broken down because it was a mess what just happened. It was not sanctified. It was impure. It was not what God had. It was an altar for someone else, for Baal. Need to be rectified to be an altar for God. Sanctified as a holy place for God. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the 12 tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." Then, with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench around the altar, Lord, enough to hold 2 seas of seed. Big enough trench to where it's going to create a little river area, a little creek area. And he put the wood on the altar, cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood and said, "Fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." Then he said, "Do it again." So not only does he have the altar on there, but he wet the wood to make it even more difficult for the flame. What does that mean? That means the flame that's going to come from God is going to be so supernatural, so hot, that it's going to be able to burn wet wood. So double it, he said. And then he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time. They poured so much water that the water ran all around the altar and also filled the trench that they dug. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. So the fire of the Lord fell, and it consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, that's when they fell on their knees, fell on their face, and said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. So what was going on? You had a chaotic land. Remember we talked last week, a desperate times and desperate people is when they cry out to God. That's when God sends His revival. Well, these were desperate times. The entire nation of Israel was led astray by false prophets, a false king, and a false queen. And what I mean by false is they were not leading their people in godly ways. This was Jezebel and her husband. They were the promoters of Baal worship, walking astray from the things of God. It was corrupt nation run by corrupt leadership, by corrupt prophets and priests. Even the priests who so-called were priests of Yahweh had watered down religion, had watered down faith. This was a corrupt time. It was a time of spiritual rebellion going on. You want to talk about desperate times? By the way, do you see some parallels? God's word was also forsaken in that land. Nobody was reviewing the Old Testament doctrines. Nobody was reading the Torah. Or if they were doing their thing, they were going through the motions. There was a spirit of rebellion. God's word was forsaken. False teachers, teachings, and gods were declared. Word says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Guess what? People were perishing for a lack of knowledge. Something desperate needed to happen. Desperate times with desperate people called for desperate measures. Elijah stood up in a desperate way, doing the desperate thing, the impossible. Not just calling on his God to send fire to spark revival, to spark something, but he did it in a desperate way. Let's do it in a way where there is no doubt that it was God who did this. Let's make wet wood. Let's surround it with a trench of water. Let's do it to where there will be no doubt that it is God and only God who sends His revival fire. See, why this is important is a lot of people are fearful, as we've been talking about the fires of God. And their fear comes from doubt that this is God. Now, in our recent modern age, we know of two major revivals that have taken place in the last 20, 25 years. You had the Toronto Blessing, and you had Brownsville in Florida. And God moved, and He was moving mightily in that area, in both those places. But many people were like, well, it's not really God, because I'm hearing gold sparkles were coming out of the ceiling, or water was showing up in services, and you have a ceiling, and somehow, how is it raining in this? You know, people were doubting. See, sometimes God has to do it in an impossible way so there can be no doubt to those who are involved, where you know that God is God. about a year ago. You know, I even had my doubts about, what do you mean gold sparkles? How does that work? Well, I wondered about that. Then a year ago, God sent his fire on me where I was knocked down. I was wearing a black shirt, and everyone can say, oh my God, you're glowing gold. There's gold sparkles all over your black shirt. This was at a conference. It wasn't even at a church service. When God moves sometimes, he has to move in the impossible to leave no doubt that it is him. And those that receive it are going to walk in. There will always be doubters. Why? Because the enemy is a liar. He's a deceiver. We are hungry for God. We see his fire. We run to it. Those who are listening to the lies of the enemy, they see a fire and they hear it, you're going to burn yourself and walk away from it. Our job is to run to the fire, run to the cloud of where God's presence is, to run there. People were perishing because of the lack of knowledge. And with that, no one was encountering the presence of God. Elijah stood up and he called on God and fire came down. Now, there's some specific things I want us to see here to this story. What did Elijah first do? He said, people, come. People, I want you to come near. He drew the people near. He assembled the people. Why? Because he wanted them to be touched by the fire of God. He wanted to include them. See, he may not have needed the fire of God on him, because he was walking in that fire. And let me tell you, you have to be walking to have enough strength to do what he did, where he was literally the only man there. You think about this. Think about this scenario. You had one man of God, hundreds of prophets of Baal. You had the king and the queen who were worshipers of Baal, and a bunch of people who were either confused or worshiping Baal. He was the only one among thousands. Oh, and not to mention the soldiers that were more than likely there, because if the king's there, soldiers are there. The only one. But you know what? He said, oh, I feel this. This is going to happen. I need you people who will lean in to draw near. Come near. See, the invitation is out there for people to come near. But we know human nature is not everyone's going to come near. And not everyone came near. Our philosophy in ministry here at this church is we're going to pour into those who are going to be leaning in. That's the key word, leaning in. Who's leaning in? Who wants to grow? Who wants to be touched by the fire of God? Who wants to receive what God is doing and be a part of what God is doing? Those are the ones that will grow. Those are the ones we're going to pour into. We're not going to run ever after people who don't care. We want the hungry. We're going to pour in and feed the hungry. Give drink to the thirsty who want more of the things of God in their lives. So Elijah said, come, come, you, come near. And those who are hungry came near. Second thing, Elijah repaired the altar. He revived it. He brought back to life something that had been defiled, that had been destroyed. See, that altar was supposed to be sanctified. Word of God says every high place must come down. The godly kings of the Old Testament, what did they do every time they came into power? They went, when they were walking the right way, they went and they tore down those high places and rebuilt them as places of God. The ones who left them alone ended up ruining the day they did that. Because when you leave something, when you don't sanctify something for God, you're keeping the door open for the enemy to restore what he had there. That includes our hearts. When we cast out a demon, remember that. an oppressive spirit from our lives. We need to repair this heart by filling it up, sanctifying it, making it a place for the Holy Spirit to dwell, because he's coming back with seven buddies, more stronger than him, to try to take back what he wants. Well, Elijah said, no, we're sanctifying this order, this altar. This is where God's presence is coming. So we're going to fix this up. We're going to fix it up the right way, make it to godly standards. Think about what God's fixing in your hearts today, what God's doing today. Every place that is not yet God's is a high place in my life or your life of the enemy that needs to be broken down and repaired and sanctified. Every place. And guess how it's sanctified? By the fire of God. His fire purifies by destroying anything not of God and restores. What did he do? He honored God. He honored the word of God. How did he do that? He got the 12 stones. He represented. He paid respect by bringing people back to the 12 tribes of Israel. This is what it's about. Getting back to basics. This is the way it's supposed to be. He honored God's word. He honored the heritage and legacy of the godly men and women of old, those who set things up. We can go back, and what we're doing here in this church, with our hunger, with our passion for God, we're not doing anything new that wasn't done by Smith Wigglesworth and those who at Azusa Street, where the Holy Spirit fell and a revival broke out. We're not doing anything different than what happened in Toronto or Brownsville. We're just hungry and willing to step in and step with God, with what God is doing. We wanted. We're not running away. We're stepping in to that fire. And we're honoring God with what we do. Shared with the prayer team this morning, when God does something, and we don't give testimony of what he did, giving him glory, we are robbing him of that. And we're dishonoring him. That's why when God does something for you, when God moves a mountain, when God does a miracle, when God heals, we got to give glory to God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to you for this. We don't keep our mouths shut. Even if the healing is 50 or 60 or 70 or 80% healed, you give glory for that. God is still at work. Elijah, number four, was also desperate for the supernatural to go beyond the natural. That's why the water was there. He wanted more. He didn't want just a good service. He didn't want to come to church with those people. Come on in and let's just have a feel-good time. We want the supernatural, Lord. We want you to do something that no way can it be done without you. No way can this happen without your presence. And we're believing in it and we're not moving. But we're going to do it your way. And we're going to honor you with it, Lord. We want the supernatural. We want you to heal. We want you to move. We want you to change. We want you to restore and rebuild. We want you to pour into us and move into us. We want you to come in your glory. And he pulled the people in because he wanted them to receive, those who were willing to receive and be a part of that supernatural to flow. See, when God pours, it's not just on one person. It's intended for all. It's intended for all. It may start off with one person, but it's intended for all to receive. That word impart means to take what I have and pass it along to you. When the Holy Spirit moves in someone in this room, it's not, "Ooh, thank you, God, I feel so good, and I'm going to stay here and bask in it." It's, "Lord, how can I pass it? Yes, it feels great. I feel your ways. I feel your presence. I'm healed. So maybe I need to touch someone and pray over someone so that your healing power will continue to flow. Maybe I need to bless somebody." You know, I love what I've been seeing lately in worship. I've been seeing people holding hands as they've been worshiping more and more. And that's a beautiful sight. You know why? Because Holy Spirit's flowing and connecting. Things are important. One faith is encouraging another's faith. One faith that is moving in the supernatural is imparting that supernatural onto someone else. And it's flowing. Elijah was desperate for it, and he wanted that, and he believed in that. But here's the important thing, too. Another point. He waited on the right time. He waited on the God-appointed time for God to send the fire. See what verse 36 says? "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that he came to God and said, 'All right, God, it's time. I'm ready.'" See, he didn't just do it and say, "Boom, go for it, God." There are principles to God's word that we follow. God never changes. The evening sacrifice had not come yet. What did he do? He waited on God. He waited for that moment to do it God's way. When God sends the fire. But what's said that's not been said. What do you think he was doing during the time of the waiting? May not have been written, "Oh, Elijah was praying in the spirit while he was waiting." But you know he was. He wasn't going to be saying, "Who wants to play rummy with me?" Or he wasn't playing solitaire or whittling wood, taking a piece of wood off that altar and with his little pocket knife. He was praying. He was seeking the Lord. He was praying in the Spirit, moving. He was prostrating. He was calling on God. He was fervently seeking everything from God, stirring himself up, getting himself ready for when the fire comes down. See, it's easy sometimes when we go to a conference or some special event like the women are going to in October to get yourself stirred up for that event, for God to do something wonderful. But what about every time we come together? How about stirring ourselves up Sunday mornings? Because I promise you, devil wants to create chaos and confusion Sunday mornings, beginning maybe even Saturday. How about stirring ourselves up before we go to home group Bible studies? "Yes, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. Let your fire fall at Eric and Nicole's. Lord, I'm ready for your fire to fall at Maria's. Lord, I'm ready for your fire to fall at Roberta's. Let's burn where we have to crank up the air conditioning all the way up and it's still not going to be cool enough. Let your fire burn." I promise you, you have no idea. Every time an event, a Bible study, a service, my wife and I are always attacked. I can guarantee you that. Promise you, this morning we were attacked spiritually. First day of Haverin Bible study, Thursday morning. Normally we get up early, we have our time with the Lord, we work out, we pray together, go to work. We could barely get out of bed that morning. And we felt sluggish all day long, just feeling that physical attack that we had to fight through to stir ourselves up. Waiting for the fire. And the fire came. The fire came that night. every day. It has to be a personal choice to stir yourself up. And that's what Elijah was doing, getting going, getting his heart where it needs to be. He had to do his part, get everything ready, but more importantly, get himself ready. And then another lesson is, what was his purpose? To glorify God. What did he say? Lord God of Abraham and Isaac and Israel, let it be known this day, this is verse 36, that you are God in Israel and I am only your servant. It's not about me, God. It's about you. Let that fire come down and go. Last week was beautiful. Why? Because the fire was here. But I wasn't doing all the work. It was so nice for me to be a part of the work and step aside and let the fire of God also minister through others. And we just work together as a body. That's not just a one-man game. It's not about any one man. It's about what God wants to do, pour his fire into us, that we flow out of that fire. He wanted God glorified. And then the Lord, in his perfect time, what did he do? He sent the fire. And when that fire came, what did it do? It consumed everything. Everything. The water in the trench, the wood, the sacrifice itself. We also know, if we read on, it consumed all the prophets of Baal. The false prophets, it got to them too. And what did they do? The people glorified God. People glorified God. They lifted him up. They recognized him. They saw it. See, God wants to move this way. He wants the fire to speak into us and to move in us. Bill Johnson said this, God could see what really needed to change in me in order for me to be trusted with the more I had asked for. Let me say that again. Is that up there? Let me say that again. God could see what really needed to be changed in me. In me, in order for me to be trusted with the more I had asked for. All of us are asking for more of God. All of us want more of God to move in our lives. All of us have said that. But the problem is there's something that needs to be changed in me, that when I stand at the altar of God and say, Lord, send the fire, I don't jump out because it's starting to burn, or I don't walk away. Something has to change in me. And how that changes is I allow the Holy Spirit to send his fire in me. I bite my lip and I say, Lord, here I am. I may not feel comfortable. It's hard to take sometimes when you're convicted and revelations come through. But the Lord is not convicting. He's not showing these things to bring shame and guilt, but to purify. And all I have to do is say, Lord, I repent of this, and I can be changed. See, the Lord wants to be glorified. He wants to move. He wants his presence upon us. He wants that fire. This is what he wants to do. But he's looking for a people who also want to receive it. The Lord sends his fire, and there's nobody around. Is anyone changed? Is anything changed? You don't think the Holy Spirit wants to come? You don't think the Holy Spirit wants to come and pour himself on us? He wants to do that. He wants to do that. Do you remember, we keep bringing this up because it's a powerful story. The story of King Saul when he was chasing to kill David. The fire of God had so overflowed in the camp of a bunch of prophets in the wilderness that they were prophesying like crazy because his presence was so powerful. That even while Saul, with all the hate in his heart, when he was still a way off, the fire burned the hate off of him. And he joined the camp. And there he was prophesying with the prophets. Prophesying with David. Because God had overwhelmed him. You don't think the presence of God wants to come and dwell with us? He wants to do this. But he's looking for a people who are hungry to receive this. Who also would choose this. Holy Spirit, right now. Holy Spirit, come. Instill with us, Lord, what we need. Lord God, you know what we need to change within us so there will be no hindrances for us to receive the fires that you're pouring in. Yeah, Lord, come. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. I want you all to stand right now and just receive. Just receive. Come, Lord. Holy Spirit, more. More right now. We invite you, Holy Spirit. Come. Come, 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 come. Speak. Speak to us right now, Holy Spirit. Come. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. God has just given somebody a word, but speak that word, but only that word.
Lord said, make room for my spirit greater.
Yes, Lord. We make room right now, Lord.
To lay those things down. Yeah, Lord. To lay down the sin. To lay down the things in your life, the idols in your life, that stand between you and me. Those are the conditions to receive the fire, the Lord would say. To lay down those things.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
I want to burn out the dross, the Lord would say. I want to make you that golden vessel, a vessel of honor that I can work through in my power, in my anointing. But those conditions need to be met.
Yes, Lord.
Trust and obey. There's no other way. Trust and obey.
Yeah. Yes, Lord. Okay.